Go ahead and turn with me to Matthew chapter 13. That's where our text will be found, Matthew chapter 13. Tonight I want to speak to you on the topic of sowing. And I trust that the Lord will press home to you the importance and the criticalness of this truth in the development of our Christian lives and of growing in the Lord and seeking Him daily in our lives. So let's begin by reading Matthew 13, and my text is in verse 3, but for context, we'll read from verse 3 on through the end of this parable. It says, "And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth. Forthwith they sprang up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But other fell on good ground, and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." Notice with me the text, "Behold, a sower went forth to sow." Let's pray. Father, I come before you today just asking that your mercy might be poured out upon us, that we would hear your word as it's proclaimed tonight. Lord, would you speak through me? Help me to speak that which you want me to say. And Lord, I pray that each of us would leave, Lord, with a reminder and perhaps a prompting to take that step that you want us to take in the area of sowing, in the area of witnessing, in the area of being a personal testimony for Jesus Christ to the lost world. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So tonight the topic is the sower and the seed. The sower and the seed. And I want to start by just making three observations of this verse, verse number 3, and then we'll get into some application. But first I want you to notice what the occupation of the sower was. You see, God calls this workman something very specific in verse number 3. He's not called a farmer. He's not a harvester. He's not called a family man or a tradesman or a rich man or a poor man. God used those terms to define other people, but here this man's defined as a sower. That's his work. That's his calling in life. Sowing is not all he did, clearly. I mean, there's obviously a reason why he's sowing. He must have needed the profits for a family or for maintaining his own life. And no doubt he was also influential in the field maintenance and in the harvesting and in other areas of life. And yet God chose to identify him as a sower. That was what characterized his life. And I wonder tonight whether I'm characterized, whether you're characterized by being a sower. Do we identify quicker and more readily with the occupation that we do than with our heavenly calling? Would we rather identify ourselves as a pressure washing technician or a family man or a tree cutter? Or do we identify as a sower of the Word of God? Luke 8:39 tells us that every individual who's a Christian is called to be a sower. Remember, this is the story of the Gadarenes, and Jesus saves this man from sin, and then he sends him back, and he says, "Return to thine own house, and show how great things God hath done unto thee." What was his calling? What was his mission in life now? It was to sow. It was to sow the word of God, to speak just a word for Jesus. He's also called his local church to be sowers. In Matthew 18, the last commission that he gave his church, he said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel." It's a simple message, but that's our calling as a local church. In Luke 9, 1 through 6, Jesus is sending out his disciples, and he tells them to go into all the areas and preach the gospel and heal the sick. And in verse 6, it says that the disciples went through the towns preaching the gospel of Christ. Preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. So they followed Jesus' command, they were called to be sowers, and they went forth and sowed. But you see, God has called every single one of us to be a sower. And I wonder tonight, are you a sower? You can be. You should be. We all should be. The story's told of Dr. Gifford, a Boston preacher, and he told the story one time of a sermon he preached, and as he went down to his congregation, a little lady came up to him and said, "Preacher, I have listened to you many times, and that is the first time I've ever heard you to be unfair. You've always been fair and straight, but you are unfair today." And he said, "How was I unfair?" And she said, "Here you were cramming down the truth that everybody can win somebody to Christ. And that is just not true, because you made no exception for me. And clearly, I am an exception to that. I can't bring anybody to Christ." She said, "I'm a lowly seamstress. I never leave the house. I have no education. And I certainly have no opportunity to speak for Christ. What can I do? You were certainly unfair in your comment." The wise man looked at her and he said, "Lady, does anybody ever come to your house?" She said, "Well, sure, certainly." He said, "Does the milkman ever come to your house?" She said, "Well, yes, every day." He's like, "Okay. Does the meat man ever come to your house?" "Well, yeah, every day." "Does the mailman ever come to your house?" "Well, certainly, every day." And he looked at her and said, "Woman, a word to the wise is sufficient." And he turned around and left. That night, those words burned within her that everybody can win somebody to Christ. And she pondered over that because, you see, she had never even tried to open her mouth for the cause of Christ. She had lived in fear and in belief of lies that she couldn't. And she had never tried to speak one word for her Savior to a lost soul around her. And that night, she decided, "By the grace of God, I'm going to open my mouth for Christ." The next morning, she got up early, and she's waiting out there for her milkman. And he comes by, and he notices that she's up early, and so he makes comment of that. And she stammers and stutters, but can't get out what she's trying to say. And he turns around, leaves the gate. Gate closes behind him. And he's walking down the street, and suddenly she's like, "I've got to say something." So she summons up the courage, and it all came out in a stream. And she said, "Wait a minute, I have something to say to you." So he turns around, and, "What do you want to say to me?" She said, "Do you know Christ? Are you a Christian? Are you a friend and follower of that glorious Savior who came down from heaven and died that you might not forever die?" And he turned to her with some surprise and said, "Little woman, what in the world prompted you to tell me that? For two nights now, I have not been able to sleep because my soul is at this rest all because I'm not a Christian. And if you know how to lead me to Christ, you must tell me." And right there, she got to lead her milkman to the Lord. Within 1 year, this lady, who was a seamstress, poor, her husband had died, she stayed at home, had no education, and no opportunity, had won 7 people to Christ. Why? Because she decided that it's my calling to be a sower too. Amen. Tonight, God has called you to be a sower, and you can be a sower. We all can be. But we've got to see that as our calling in life. This wasn't a task that he took upon himself for a day. This sower in Matthew 13, it wasn't just a duty of the day. It was his calling. It was his life. It was his passion. And oh, that every conversation we have, every friendship, every opportunity we are thrown in with people, that Christ would flow through us, through our mouth, through our life, that we'd be a testimony for Christ, and that we would see every opportunity as not just a opportunity to speak for Christ, but as ordained in our life for the purpose of talking to someone for Christ. Dr. Truett, a very influential man, preacher in the early 1900s, during World War I, he told the story of a great pork packer of the Northwest. Very wealthy man, very influential man. And as he told the story, this young man came and he was not familiar with this pork packer. And so he came up to him and said, "Sir, what is your business?" The big packer made answer, "I'm a Christian. That's my business." The man kind of reddened a little bit. He's like, "No, you didn't understand me. What is your business? What is your main concern? What is your occupation?" He said, "Sir, I'm a Christian. I pack pork to pay the expenses." And see, I wonder if we got that exactly backwards. We live for our job, we live for our family, we live for everything else in life, and we serve God on the side. If you're going to be a sower, you've got to be a sower as your entire life goal. As a sub-point of this, it's not the main message, but I want you to notice that this man in Matthew 13, he sowed some seed on some infertile ground. And sometimes when you and I are going to go out, we're going to sow on infertile ground that we might think that that seed was wasted. But this sower would rather throw a lot of seed on infertile ground than miss one inch of fertile ground. And I would rather, I hope you would rather, tell many people about Christ that aren't ready to hear the word than miss one soul that God has prepared and is ready to hear the word of God, and that his time has come to receive Christ. Don't try and judge a person on whether they're going to be saved or not as to whether you're going to give them the gospel. Just give it to them and let God deal with his word in their life. And that kind of leads me into my second point here. It says, "Behold, a sower went forth to sow." You see, this man had something he wanted to put in the ground. He had something specific that he intended to get in that ground, and he believed that once he got it in the ground, it would bear fruit, right? You don't plant if you don't believe that something's going to come up, especially if it's your livelihood. And I praise the Lord that God has given us a seed to spread that's not our word. It's his word, and he's promised that it will grow. Amen. And as a sower, as a soul winner, I would challenge you, make sure you're using the Word of God. We can sow our illustrations. We can sow our thoughts and our arguments and our word pictures. And there might be a place for those. But don't forget to leave someone with the Word of God. That's what's going to bear fruit, not our words. If you look over in Luke 8, 11, you see the parallel passage to Matthew of this parable. And in verse 4, you see the parable. But then in verse 11, you see the explanation that Jesus gives for this parable. And notice verse 11 of Luke 8. He says, "Now the parable is this. The seed is the what? The word of God." It's simple. This parable, this seed that this guy was sowing, was the word of God. And oftentimes, as I've finished talking with someone, the Holy Spirit speaks to my heart and says, "What'd you leave him with? Did you leave him with my word? In that long conversation, did you ever pull out the word of God? Did you ever even quote a verse? Or did you just try and throw out a bunch of your own words?" It's God's words that are going to bear fruit. That's the things we need to get out. Acts 8. The Philippian eunuch, he's running beside this chariot. God tells him, "Get in there and talk to this Ethiopian eunuch." And so he jumps up in there, and this Ethiopian is reading out of the book of Isaiah. What does Philip do? He takes the word of God and begins in Isaiah and preaches to him Christ. Philip understood the word of God. He didn't say, "See, that preaches Christ, and now give him all his own words." No, he used the word of God to preach Christ. Romans 10:17, Paul says, "Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." It is the act of receiving Jesus Christ as our Savior that makes us a son of God, according to John 1:12. It says, "As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God." And as such, so this faith, or this, the act of receiving Christ is what saves us. But you're not going to receive Christ without the faith given by Christ through his word. So without the word, faith is not present to receive Christ. And there's many tools. There's so many tools out there to witness. We have tools in the back. We have keys that are a good illustration, an eye catcher. We've got tracks. We've got invitations. I used to use sleight of hand tricks to get people's attention. And all those can have their place and are good. But never forget that it's the Word of God that's going to bear fruit. And we can't trust in this tool to do what God has said only His Word will do. His Word is the truth. In Psalms 119, 130, He says, "The entrance of thy words giveth life, light. It giveth understanding unto the simple." You have someone that you're trying to show that they're in sin and that they need a Savior? Show them the light. Let God show them that truth by His Word. Show them the verses in Romans that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, that none are righteous. Walk them through Romans 1 where it shows God's view of the human heart. No matter how good we think it is, God looks at it as vile and wicked and separated from Him by sin. You want to show someone that His grace is enough to save them? Take them to His Word. He said, "He that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out." That's His promise. Take them to the Word and let God's light open that to their heart. I'm not saying that you shouldn't use illustrations. Jesus used illustrations as He was speaking, and now all of it was the Word of God. But there is a time for a proper illustration or an example or a personalization of a truth to someone's specific condition in life. But never do that at the expense of the Word of God. And as such, every one of us needs to be proficient in the Word of God. You say, "Well, I don't know very many verses." Well, open the Bible and learn them. This sounds kind of complicated, but that's what you do with anything else. If you want to learn how to work your computer, you're going to sit down and figure it out, or you're going to look something up. If you want to learn how to mow grass properly, you're going to sit down and Google it. I wanted to learn how to pressure wash properly, so I sat down and Googled it. I took the time to learn what I needed to know. And yet we as Christians, we come to the house of God, we read our Bible daily, hopefully, and then we say, "Well, I don't know anything to tell anybody. I don't know the verses I need to share." How many times have you sat down and said, "You know, what if someone asked me that question? What verse would I share with them?" And you open your Bible app and you type in a couple words, a word search, and you find that verse and you either mark it in your Bible or you memorize it, and then you go out and practice it. That's how you become a soul winner, is getting the Word and learning your sword so that you can use it through the power of Christ. John Wesley was a great preacher. He traveled a lot on horseback, and one night he was traveling on the outskirts of London, and a robber accosted him. And so John Wesley was a very poor man, but he's like, "Well, take what coins I have. You're not going to get much." And so he gave him his few coins gladly, and then he invited the robber to examine his saddlebags and found there was only books. So the robber is quite disappointed at this point at a low haul. And then as the robber begins to leave, John Wesley says, "Stop, wait a minute." And the robber was kind of puzzled, and he said, "My friend, you may live to regret this sort of life. If you ever do, I beseech you to remember this: the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin." Well, the robber turned off and hurried off into the darkness. And John Wesley stopped right there in his saddle to beg God to burn those words of God into that man's heart. Years later, a wealthy businessman who had been a Christian for many years came to John Wesley after a meeting in London, and he introduced himself as that robber of many years before. And he spoke to John Wesley and said, To you, dear sir, I owe it all." And he kissed his hand and was so thankful. Wesley, remembering that evening that they first met, said, "No, my friend, not to me, but to the precious blood of Christ that cleanses us from all sin." The Word of God had been put in a place that it could bear fruit. And many times we leave the Word of God in the grain bin and expect fruit to be born all around us. as good as a Christian life is to be lived, and we ought to live in such a way that our testimony is believable, but you've got to speak the Word of God to connect that life of what Christ has done in you with the Word of God and what Christ can do in them. So number one, we saw the occupation of the sower. It was his passion, it was his goal, it was his defining factor of his life to be a sower. Secondly, he sowed the seed. And you're not going to be a good sower if you don't sow the seed. And number three, the actions of the sower. You see, all the teaching and all the practicalness of witnessing applied to your life will do no good unless these two words are followed. Look with me in verse 3. It says, "Behold, a sower went forth to sow." And it sounds kind of simple because it kind of is simple. He didn't wait for the ground to come to him. He went out to the ground. As a fisherman, you don't sit in the on the shore and wait for the fish to come to you and then hand him a hook. Say, "Please, bite this. Make me look like a good fisherman and when my buddies come by." No, they go out to the fish. As a salesman, you go out to the people. And as witnessers, we sit in the church. We sit at home, and we expect people to come to us and ask us how to be saved. Listen, that can happen from time to time because of our witness and our testimony. But we've got to go forth and sow. There's no other way. There's no simpler way. There's no more modern way than what God ordained. Go forth. He said in the Great Commission, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel." And also notice the next word, "went forth to sow." It was the purpose of him going forth. You see, witnessing isn't an activity that we assign to an hour, such and such a day. It's a way of life that everywhere we go, we ought to go forth to sow. I challenge you how many times you've walked through Walmart, and I know this is true for me. I can go through Walmart and not speak a word to anybody, honestly. I'll go in and I'll go out through the self-checkouts, and I might nod at somebody, maybe say hello, but around here people don't say hello to you, so you just walk right past, and then I get outside and I just pass how many people, and I say, "Well, the Lord never gives me opportunities to witness." Well, do you try stopping and talking to somebody? As I heard one guy say, the greatest way to start a conversation is this little word, "Hello." And it opens a lot of conversations. It's amazing how many people are willing to stop and listen for a second if we care enough to stop. But I wonder, the point of that was, how many times do we go Walmart, gas station, work, job, and our goal is we're getting groceries. Our goal is we're getting gas. Our goal is we're getting a paycheck. And God says, "Hey, why don't your goal be to share Christ today? I'm glad that you're getting a paycheck, but that's just a cherry on top. I'm glad you're getting gas, but you just walked past a soul on the other side of that pump and never even tried to give them the gospel." God has called us to be sowers, and He will use you, but you've got to say, "Here am I, Lord, send me." And tonight you may be here and you say, "You know, I realize the importance of sowing. I understand the points. I get it. But I'm scared to death. And I don't know how to sow. I don't feel like I have the ability. I don't feel like I have the knowledge. How do I get from the fear of where I am to speak to someone for Christ to where Paul said in Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation." So I want to give you these three simple thoughts as far as application goes to hopefully help us along the way of becoming effective sowers for Christ. And number one, sowing is always prompted by love. Sowing is prompted by love. And I don't think I need to expound on that, because if someone is in great danger and we see it, we're going to go speak to them. We're going to warn them. If we know that a tree is across the road, we're going to flash our lights at the people coming at us. Why? Because we care just a tiny, tiny bit about someone else. How much more when we know that this word condemns sin? It calls for judgment based upon a holy God. And we see people walking around living their lives careless to what God says and what God cares for. And yet we never open our mouth, which in essence shows our heart that we just don't care. And the root of that is selfishness, when you really narrow it down. If I become centered upon myself, one of the first things that will go is my care for souls. Because that's something down the line. I've got to really love someone to speak to them about such a taboo topic, to stop someone in Walmart and say, "Hey, do you know for sure that your sins are forgiven?" Love is what prompts that. Number one, love for God. And that is built through loving His Word. You get in this Word every day, and I challenge you to start looking in your reading for God's love. Every verse you read, every chapter you read, say, where is God's love shown in this passage? How is it illustrated? How is it shown not just to the world? How is it shown to me? And as you begin to realize just how much God loves you, that turns into you loving Him and a response. And as you see how much He loves the lost in the world, you're going to love the lost more. But secondly, sometimes we just need to get before God and say, "Look, Lord, I'm just going to be honest with you. I don't have that love. And I know I should. I know it ought to be there. But I see from the fruits, I'm not talking to people about Christ. So therefore, I'm not loving them enough. And Lord, I need to confess that. But I need you to give me that love. You and I can't love people like we ought in our flesh. It's a gift. It's the fruit of the Spirit, according to Galatians 5. And so it's something that God gives us and God shines through us to love someone else. And when we ask for it, He'll give it. I know there's been people and times where I really got before the Lord and I said, "I don't love them, but I want you to love them through me." And you can. I don't care enough about souls right now. I'm selfish right now. I'm consumed with myself. Lord, I need you. I want you to give me a love for other people and a love for you. And He does. And all of a sudden, perfect love casteth out fear. And all of a sudden that fear, it may be there a little bit, but it's going to override that fear, that love to tell someone about your Savior. Secondly, sowing is empowered and prospered by the Spirit. It's prompted by love, and it's empowered by the Spirit. In Acts 4:31, I want you to look at this. Acts 4:31, you have the apostles shortly after Pentecost. They're being persecuted. Every reason to be quiet about the faith. Acts 4, verse 31. And they're seeking God in prayer. They're seeking the Lord for courage. They're scared. They're afraid. And they turned to the Lord and they said, "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word with boldness." You see, the direct result of the Holy Spirit being allowed to completely control them was boldness. If you're lacking boldness, you're lacking surrender to the Holy Spirit, and allowing Him to completely fill you. And again, notice that it came after prayer. We need to get before the throne room of God and seek His love and His empowering through us. Don't go out on your own. You'll be wasting your time to try and witness to some lost soul on your own. I've tried. I believe every person who's gone witnessing has tried to speak in their own flesh. Sometimes we don't realize it till later, but then you begin to realize just how little you were trusting the Lord. But I've spoken with people where the Lord was filling me. And I finished with that and I was like, "Wow, Lord, I didn't fear. You showed me the exact verse they needed at every given time. And with the Spirit of love, I was able to communicate to them that I love them, that God loved them." we were able to move through the Word of God, and I was able to, you know, their attention was kept in the Word of God, and it's just like better than a Red Bull. I mean, it excites you because it's the Holy Spirit being allowed to work through you. Perfect love will cast out fear, and a perfect surrender to Christ will provide effectiveness for His cause. And number three, sowing is perfected by practice. Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. Pastor brought this out just the other night, and I thought, how applicable to witnessing and every area of the Christian life. Hebrews chapter 5, look at verse 14. Here in the context, he's speaking of a believer that is weak, that is babyish, that is childish, because of a choice to not grow in the Lord. He's rebuking them here. This is not acceptable. He is not pleased with these Hebrews or these people's lack of desire to grow in God. And he says here, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Your senses of good and evil, your senses of how to witness, your ability to follow Christ in any practical application of the Christian life will grow by practice. You have got to, by reason of use, grow in your act of witnessing. If you've never spoken a word for Christ, don't be surprised if it's a little bit rough, because you've never given yourself to practice to be a sower. In the storybooks, they have the pictures of these guys throwing the seed, and it looks quite elaborate. Like, I think it's quite a skill to be able to throw seed properly when they did it by hand. And I know in the fishing world, when you throw a net, it is quite a skill. You don't just run out there and throw your net easily. You're casting the word out, and it comes by practice. And the Holy Spirit is the one that empowers. So don't ever mistake that you've got to be practiced up and you have to witness for so many years before God can use you. No, that's a lie of Satan too. God can use you from day one. Remember that story of that lady who had never spoken to anyone about Christ, and yet God used her surrender to do His work through her. But as she practiced, it got better and it got more fluid, and she was able to speak to more people more effectively. And the same is true for us. It's no mystery. You're not going to get better at something without practice. Witnessing is no different. Getting stuff from this word is no different. You're not going to just suddenly wake up one day and never read the Bible, never purpose to look for things in the Word of God, and then all of a sudden see this great, great truth. God gives you little nuggets, and then as you dig, He gives you more and more and more. But it comes through practice. It comes through diligence. He said that a steward should be found faithful. That's continuing daily. So tonight I ask you this question. Are you a sower? Does being a sower define you? Or is it some partial occupation? Is it the way of your conversation? Or is it a partial conversation that you have every now and then? Is Christ brought up throughout your opportunities? As Christ gives you an opportunity, are we willing to speak for Christ? And then, of course, I challenge you to use the Word of God. I think that's one of the biggest things that we should take away tonight. Is use the Word of God. Something about seeing it from His Word will burn in someone's heart and will accomplish His work. Psalms 126:6 leaves us with this promise. He said, "He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed." Now stop there. You see that he's going. He's bearing precious seed. He's prompted and empowered by love. And then notice the promise, "shall doubtless come again, rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." God has given us a promise. God has called every one of us to be a sower. God has given you and I the ability to sow. He said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And another place he said, "I will make you to catch men. Don't let Satan deceive you into thinking that you can't be a sower for Christ. And tonight, I would just challenge you. Come before God and say, I'm scared, honest. I don't know how to speak, but I'm going to take your word at face value, and I'm going to obey. And if you will come with me, I will go. I will, by the power of Christ, go forth and sow. Would you bow with me, please?